Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's so awesome.
Awesome. Oh, awesome.
That's awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Stevie B!
Hey, I'm in my office again.
Dude, I mean...
I have a portable office. I'm actually thinking of getting a workspace again, by the way.
I was gonna say...
Were you gonna suggest that? Because
I'm in my loft, which we have, we put in a built-in to give us our appropriate workspace. My wife, who does a lot of work from home, me, who does more work from home than I ever could have imagined. Like, who does?
Were you able to write some of that off?
I think so. It's a home office.
Okay,
I got
it. What's a home office? Yeah. All right, cool. You'll have to check for sure. Yeah.
For all you IRS agents listening, I'm doing my due diligence for sure.
So I'm just trying to figure out, because there's this cool workspace right near me.
Yeah.
Like, it's super cool, but they go hourly, right? Like, you could go in for the open workspace and it's like $3 an hour.
Are you getting pulled over? I mean, I know you're not moving, but I feel like I saw some lights flash by you.
No, I'm not getting pulled over. No.
Okay.
Not today. So it's hourly, right? Like,
yeah.
And it doesn't really pencil out unless I'm only there a couple hours a day, which is fine. Then it could pencil out pretty good.
But it's just not, it's not a monthly membership or anything like that.
It's not, they won't do monthly.
Right.
So, but it's kind of cool where you just walk in and, you reserve what you want. You can reserve like the phone booth, like I used to have. You can reserve.
Right.
I go, okay, I'll do the phone booth for 2 hours, and then I'll do open space for 2 hours. And go pay $35.
Sure.
So, something like that. But, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I'm looking around.
Either that, or you just move into a different house that has an office.
Yeah. Well, trust me, I'd like to get a bigger place at this point. I need an office. Like, I need an office.
Right,
so
for sure.
I'm doing so much at home now. So, but I am in my car a lot too. So maybe I get like some kind of custom van, because I am a chauffeur now to my kids. So maybe I just like park somewhere and work in the back.
That's not creepy at all.
It's amazingly creepy. Who's the guy
that always parks on our street in that windowless van?
In an ice cream truck. An old ice cream van. My daughter McKenna was like, that's just weird that they have an ice cream van.
Right.
Like an ice cream truck that goes around, plays creepy music. Kids run to the truck.
I know. It makes no sense. All the lessons that we teach our kids. Don't take candy from strangers. Don't go towards vans.
A van. Yeah. Don't stay away from the vans. Yeah.
They play that creepy music and all logic goes
out
the window.
It's amazing. It's like subliminal messaging. It's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's nuts.
The next thing is if there's a clown in there, run.
Well, yeah. So the evolution of clowns.
Okay. This is interesting.
Well, because at some point they were universally loved.
Right? Yeah, I think the horror movies changed that.
Do you think that? Or the horror movies must have come from some subliminal, or not subliminal, but like someone must have thought they were creepy. And then decide,
I'm gonna tell you,
or did someone say, hey, let's take the happiest thing on earth and make it creepy?
No, because clowns are weird. I know the intention was the correct intention. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we don't know if there was a universal way to do clown makeup where they don't look creepy. There might have been a drunk clown somewhere.
Right.
Who started to maybe, you know, do his face a little differently and became a little creepy. And then what happened was it really traumatized a kid somewhere sometime.
Someone saw it and was like, ooh, that's an idea.
Because I remember Jack.
Or that kid grew up to write screenplays.
Dude, that kid grew up afraid of clowns, and it just didn't happen to one kid. Let's be real here. Okay.
Yeah.
It happened to my kid at a pumpkin patch in Tennessee.
Wow.
And Jack was 3 years old. And he saw this clown and it freaked him out, dude.
Was he like making balloon animals or something? Like, why would a clown?
Yeah, he was just he was super tall and just, it was just a weird clown and it really messed him up.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, Bozo the Clown still had a TV show. Do you remember Bozo?
Of course, yeah. Yeah, I was actually in Chicago when Bozo had the show.
Right. So, like,
WGN, I think it was WGN.
And he was, I mean, he was standard clown. Like,
standard clown,
right? Like,
yeah, like he was a happy clown, everything. But I don't know how Bozo was in real life, though.
There is, I could be wrong.
Yes,
and I don't want to make any assumptions. But yeah, is there a Bozo? Is there a Bozo documentary that is out there? Because that's one I'd like to see.
I would love to see that, and I want to know.
Even if it's all positive, like I you know what I'm saying? Like I'm not trying to say there needs to be like an expose. It's not that.
No,
I just would like,
not at all.
Like, I want more than a Wikipedia page.
Listen, I think, I think the intention of clowns was the right intention.
Well,
the road, it got twisted and then someone got affected. And then they did a bunch of horror movies on clowns. And now it's the killer clowns. And then it's clown masks for Halloween and it's evil clown masks. There's no good clowns on social media or out there to negate the negativity of the clowns.
I'm going to just form a hypothesis here. The advent of screens, films and TV were the beginning of the demise of clowns, because when all entertainment was stage entertainment, clowns and clowning, versions of clowns, stage makeup, you know, like face
they
painting,
were comedy relief,
has existed for generations, hundreds of years,
probably thousands of years.
Right. All forms of stage, like all cultures have, like, you know, so like when we started doing realistic entertainment, right, where it's not, you know, stage stuff can sometimes be broader and it's symbolic, and you know, movies and TV made entertainment more. We wanted more day to day realistic stuff versus metaphor and symbolism and like kind of grand performance in the days of film and TV has diminished. Right, we don't. But when entertainment before that, it was, you know, the way of entertainment was larger than life a lot of times.
Yes. Yes.
So we don't want the larger than life stuff now, which feels abnormal to us, feels unrealistic. That has caused us, I think, to look at those kind of art, like that kind of art as other and whoa, that's weird.
Did you say larger than life? Spinelli?
Yeah.
What did you say, Spinelli? Anyway.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, okay, that's a good point. But then I go, how did McDonald's pick a clown for its mascot?
Because it was in the 50s or 60s, right?
No, but that's just
it
weird.
It was still weird.
Is he still the mascot?
Or what
do you call it? Not even a mascot, because it's not a football
team. It's Brian Cox from Succession. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
There you go.
Well, yeah, so it's – I think he's still like the logo, or, you know, but they're not he's not, you know, in the front of their marketing team anymore. He's not the push anymore. I mean, the Jack in the Box clown, but that's a different thing, right?
Yeah. Then what are we doing here?
Right. The Jack in the Box clown, that's like they've made, because he's not a human. I mean, he's a human,
right,
but he's got.
Right. But if you were to walk in your room and hear that box noise.
No, that's the ice cream truck.
Yeah. Whatever.
It was usually Ring Around the Rosie, right?
I don't know, but if you're cranking the box for the Jack to jump out, the clown to jump out, it's not a good. You would immediately go, I'm out of here.
Out of here, for sure.
100%, I'm out. Anyway, hey, that's enough clown talk from these two clowns.
Well, you know what I was thinking? A couple things that I came across, you know, because obviously last week was a bit of a serious episode, and you know, it's fun to have those every now and then.
Yes, of course.
But one of the things that I found a couple. A couple articles, and it got me thinking.
Yeah.
You know, the studies that come out that tells you what is good for you and what is bad, and like what, you know, everyone assumed was bad for you is actually good for you, and that kind of thing. So it says coffee, and this was back on the 25th, coffee and tea drinking may be associated with reduced rates of stroke and dementia. And that's great news for us, because we drink
a lot,
you know, a lot of coffee. And they were saying that, you know, even four. So people who drank 2 to 3 cups of coffee or 3 to 5 cups of tea per day, or a combination of 4 to 6 cups of coffee and tea, had the lowest incidence of stroke or dementia in an age group of 50 to 74 over a certain amount of time. So, you know, but it also made me think, like,
Can you text me that?
Yeah.
Okay. Because someone actually just asked me that. Go ahead. Some guy I'm coaching.
Oh, interesting.
He goes, he goes, please tell my wife
that coffee's
I need my black coffee, and I need like 4 or 5 cups a day. And I said, I had already read a study similar to this anyway, where there are benefits. And I always try to say get organic coffee, because there's all kinds of pesticides and mold and stuff in the other.
Well, and in California, because of all the disclosures that they have to make.
Pregnancy, all these things.
Well, but also the side effect of when you roast something.
Yeah, like, right. The carcinogen,
like every coffee shop says, hey, just so you know, coffee causes cancer. It might cause cancer.
and there's a line around the block.
Yeah, exactly right.
But text me that. But that's, go ahead.
Coffee and tea have antioxidants and but this is all, you know, I clamor to find articles that tell me that red wine is good for you.
Okay. So because now are we moving on to red wine?
We're just talking about the things that you read to rationalize your behaviors.
Yes. I'm just going to say the coffee one and tea one is true.
Oh, okay. You also have to, they dehydrate you, and being dehydrated is not great. So you have to stay hydrated, right? They're diuretics, right? Mm-hmm. So, but if it's good for brain function, and I wonder if it's, you know, if it is the antioxidants but there's antioxidants in red wine. There's the polyphenols. That sounds right.
Here it goes.
Antioxidants and having a bit of a blood thinner in your body, a little bit. I'm not sure if coffee's a blood thinner too, but alcohol certainly is. Having, you know, not so much that you're shutting down your other organs, but a certain amount of antioxidants, polyphenols, and getting your blood running thin. It just good for inflammation, not inflammatory. Maybe.
No, it is. It is inflammatory.
It is.
Yeah, it's very inflammatory. Yes. Mm. So here's the deal.
Okay. But remember when they're like, red meat's bad for you. Red meat's good for you. Red meat's bad for you. So I tend to go everything in moderation.
Moderation. Yeah, that's fine. So I'm just going to let you believe the study, whatever you want. If you do that dance, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Don't do that dance. But I'm just going to let you do what you do.
Okay.
There you go. That's it. I've learned. I'm a learning man. I'm a learned, growing man where I'm not going to shut you down. I'm not going to crush your wine dreams. I'm going to say, it's nice to enjoy a nice glass of red wine with my friend Bradford.
Ooh, yeah.
And that's what we do on occasion. Or, and it is nice. That falls out of the study.
Does it? I'm not sure it does. I'm not sure it does.
1,000%.
Oh man.
1,000%. But anyway, I like that.
But drink all the coffee and tea you want.
Is there anything in there about Nutty Bars or like Little Debbie's? I'm looking for that. I'm looking for that study and I can't find it.
Can you pick more old man candies than those?
I probably could. Let's think for a second. What are older man candy? Oh, first of all, my wife went to See's Candy, so that's old people candy.
Right, but it's also
she just went there yesterday, and Brooklyn was like, "What is this place?
Oh, really?
This is amazing!
It's a huge part of our California existence."
Yeah, and they're handing out candy in there. And Brooklyn thought she died and went to heaven, dude. She was like, "Oh yeah, this is amazing." You know,
that's
some old people candy though.
Well, I mean that's a business born of another time, right? But
Warren Buffett bought that.
The whole thing?
Back in the day in the '70s, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
He owns 100% ownership of C's.
Last I read. I don't know if he has sold it since then, but yes.
Interesting. Well, because it was
one of his best investments ever, he said.
I mean,
and I'm like, how?
People love candy.
No, I know, but it is a certain demographic, though.
Well, it's like one thing that because growing up in the East Coast,
like 80 plus.
No, but you know that kind of candy used to be a, like when I grew up, it was Russell Stover's, right? Russell Stover's,
yeah, it was the box candy, yeah,
box candy. And you know, and you got them at the grocery store and it was like for Valentine's Day and stuff. What C's has done is it's any sort of gift giving thing.
Yes, and, of course.
You know, and around the holidays, it's ginormous. I don't remember Russell Stover's being a Christmas time or holiday time kind of thing.
No, it's Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day and Mother's Day and stuff like that. Like they marketed themselves as for women mostly. Men buy this for women.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, right?
Right. Correct.
C's I think there's other maybe regional brands like it, but C's being a California company, they have really just kind of in dug themselves into the culture of California and now it's grown. It reminds me a little bit of like, I don't say In-N-Out, but like
there's definitely nostalgia there.
Nostalgia, yes.
Yeah.
But, and also it's a great product. It's not.
Oh, the candy's amazing.
Yeah. And they're in malls. That's maybe a part of it too. They're in malls. And I mean, when you walk in, they're like, "Welcome to C's. Would you like a free sample?" That's the best. I mean, come on. Like you can't beat that. Yeah.
And the smell.
Yeah. So
you're in silver with. Yeah.
Right. So, and there's something about, it's one of those things like when you live in California and you're going to visit someone somewhere else, you would bring them C's because it's a California thing. And I think they're more nationwide now than they have been before. I think they've grown probably because of, what is Warren Buffett's company's name? Not Omaha. What's it called? Well, they're in Omaha. Oh,
now you're making me forget. I can't even believe this. I can't even believe it. It'll come to us.
Berkshire,
let's move on for a second. Berkshire Hathaway. So let's move on for a second.
Okay.
Because we're talking about the smell of the candy in the mall. So my daughter's, you know, she's about to get her license here. Today we have her last driving lesson where it's a DMV prep driving lesson today.
Okay.
And
it's
then we're trying
process.
To take. Yeah. I mean, she didn't have to. She drives with me a lot and she's doing great. Mm-hmm. But now the DMV prep, like he'll prep her on what the DMV is going to do. And then now what kids do is they look at different DMVs. They go, they'll look at like, you know, up by you, there's probably five or six.
So they Yelp the DMV and pick the one with
they
the,
Yelp
like
the DMV
the best
on
reviews.
Which, yeah, for the best passing rate.
Amazing.
And then the actual routes are on YouTube.
the driving route.
So you could go drive for the test. You could go drive the route.
Practice the route.
Practice the route. There's two or three routes, and they're usually on YouTube. And you go practice the route, and you can go, which is kind of crazy. So that being said, so she was the other day she drove out to her friend's house. I took her, and she drove out there. But it was an hour, you know, which was freeway, toll road, whatever, side streets, whatever. And she's, you know, she's understanding now the freedom that you have when you have a car.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Because her friend has a car. And so now she'll go spend the weekend at her friend's house and they just drive, you know, they do the stuff that we used to do. Like they'll go, I go, what'd you do? And she goes, oh, it was so fun, Dad. I go, well, where'd you go? She goes, we went to Home Depot and they wanted to get some LED lights. The girl did for her car inside, you know, kind of like purple Christmas lights for the interior. Right. Sure. And then what? And then we hung out at Target for like an hour and a half. And I said, this is why we hung out at malls. Right. I go, McKenna, now do you see why I said hanging out at malls was the best? Because you hang out at the mall, you could be there for hours. You go to the eatery in the mall, you hang out in there, you're smelling Cinnabon, you're smelling Sbarro pizza. It's like, it's just like Orange Julius. It's like you have all these things.
Could you smell Orange Julius?
No, but you tasted it and it was pretty good.
It was pretty good. Yeah.
It was pretty good. So, but it's just like, I'm like, you guys need to just go to a mall, like a regular mall and hang out, right? Like,
I know. That's the thing is, you know, the problem with teenagers at malls is they don't spend a lot of money.
I know. But also everything's been separated now. Now you have movie complexes. Right now you have outdoor malls where you can kind of hang out there. There's no food court. You know, you're not hanging out in the food court. So,
right. Some malls still have that. There's a nice restaurant that teenagers can't afford.
Correct.
Right. There's not
so,
a spa.
Anyway, I just thought, I was like, man, that's so cool. You just, you know, to have that freedom for her. And then to just go, hey, let's go to the car wash. Cause that was like, we go to the car wash every weekend. It's so fun. I'm like, okay, cool.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by our friends at Heat Holders. I've been doing some holiday shopping and what's been so great is that I already have some, the best stocking stuffers are stockings.
Hey, he'll be here all week.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So heat holders are the absolute warmest thermal socks around. They keep your feet warmer than just ordinary socks in the coldest conditions. And how do they do it, Steve?
Well, heat holders uses a three-stage process with a cashmere-like advanced insulating yarn that's soft to the touch and brushed on the inside and traps warm air closer to your skin. Bradford loves that.
Yes,
it does. Your feet warmer, comfortable, dry. And heat holders says it makes it the softest and most comfortable sock. Guaranteed. Heat holders will pamper your feet. Yes. I said the word pamper. Heat holders also makes hats, gloves, throws, and scarves, which, you know, at home, the throws are always stolen for me and much more. So give somebody you love this holiday season. It's the perfect time. Give somebody you love heat holders for a gift. Go to heatholders.com and enter the code
AWESOME
and save 50% off your order. And receive free shipping with any purchase of $25 or more. So, right. Bradford.
Don't freeze your butt. Don't freeze your butt.
Unless you're sledding or ice skating.
Or feet off this winter. Remember, go to heatholders.com and use our code AWESOME for 15% off and free shipping with purchase of $25 or more. Heatholders.com.
Making
life warmer.
Making life warmer.
Making your butt warmer.
Heatholders.com.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, everything goes one way and then corrects itself, right? Like, when are when are teenagers going to then start desiring? And maybe it's coming out of COVID. Maybe, like, they've been shut in so much on devices so much. Maybe there will be a thirst for going places and being social in that regard. I don't know. I'm sure some people will just get, you know, are being kind of, you know, more cornered into all digital interaction. But
well, with this freaking metaverse, you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. This is crazy talk.
Well, the thing is, I know a lot of it still seems theoretical. Like, you're on Facebook, you're on Instagram. You're not in the metaverse there,
but you know what's happening, right? Do people understand really what's going on here?
Well, they're creating
a virtual world,
that you can then go in and be whoever you want to be.
Right. And then you have gloves, right? You have this VR and you can have gloves that you can go, oh, I'm in my house touching the stainless steel fridge. It feels like stainless steel. Oh, this feels like marble. Oh, this feels like this. It's so strange, dude. Like, you know, people are buying real estate in the metaverse now.
Well,
like, people are buying real estate because here's why. You have the goggles on. Let's just say it's South, or like West Palm or South Beach, right? You have Beverly Hills. You have the goggles on. Now you can walk down Beverly Hills. You can go into the Gucci store right there and go, oh, look at this. I love this. One button buy. Bing. At your house.
Oh, I see. Right. So the market. Yeah. Right. The shopping. So the e-commerce.
Yes. The economy on the metaverse is going to be as great or greater than it is out in the real world.
Right.
So that means more people are going to be. We're already attached to our devices.
Yeah.
Okay. All of us are. There's no denying that. Sure. You can limit it. You can try to limit it. We're attached. We're now reliant upon a device.
Right.
Okay. Now we're going into the next, we're delving into the next thing is people are going to strictly be in their house like Wally and live literally in the metaverse because they can do what they want, have more fun, buy what they want, all these things. And it's going to take all the pain away from people to sit there and be in this whole alternate universe.
Right.
Which is kind of crazy because I heard about this probably 5 to 7 years ago. And I'm like, I don't know if people, and here we are. Right. I mean, it's happening in the next 5 years. It's going to be freaking, you know, people are buying real estate in here and flipping it already.
So that's what, I mean, but like in Facebook.
Okay.
Meta is trying to own, trying to be the original landowner, though, if you will.
I don't know how that works, dude. I don't know how that part works. But so here's, you know, the guy, what's that NFT that sold for $69 million? Bipple? Like that. So it was an artist who posted art every day for like 12 years, right?
Okay.
And then he put it all on a big, you know, made them small pixels and put it on a big NFT, right? Digital piece of artwork. It sold through Christie's for $69 million. So now the guy who bought it was a billionaire, right? And he goes, and he said, I heard something he said the other day, and the guy, because somebody asked him, he goes, why would you pay $69 million for this digital piece of artwork? He goes, well, first of all, it's a piece of artwork and it's, you know, subjective and it's an original. No one can copy this.
Right.
There's no one stealing it from me.
Right.
He goes, the long view for me is that I'm going to own an art museum in metaverse. And people are going to come in and pay to look at all my art because it's an art museum. And he goes, this thing that I bought for $69 million will be worth $1 billion.
Wow.
And I'm like, now that's some big thinking right there. That guy just took the whole thing to another level.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, I go, that guy is a big thinker. Now that's big thinking. I know we talk about thinking and mindset stuff. That's a big thinker. Who would have thought I'm going to build a museum in the metaverse and have all these where people can come in, check them out. And it's just incredible, dude. Like, yeah. I mean, what's the extent of it? Like, well, there's no extent. There's no limit, which is kind of scary.
Right. What can we do that's non-fungible?
Dude, my son made 2 NFTs and put them up for sale.
What, in like designs or something, or like?
Yeah, just kind of like these cool little ducks, pixelated ducks.
Cool. Amazing.
So he's putting them up. I go, dude, you got to learn this stuff, man. This is your generation. Like,
no kidding.
You learn this now. By the time you're 25, you'll never have to work again. Like,
God,
this is.
I mean, so, you know, trying to bring us back into the physical realm.
Yeah, go ahead.
But and this is another thing I read.
Yeah.
And it relates to you and me because it says, well, this is the title of the article is not like a revelation. People enjoy surprisingly deep conversations with strangers, and new study finds benefits. Talking about like how, you know, putting people together, putting people that were afraid to have deep conversations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so they were surprised at that, you know, they thought they'd certain questions that brought up deep answers people were nervous to share that information, especially with strangers. And what they found that they were surprised, mm-hmm. it was, you know, but this is not surprising to you and me. But you know, the health benefits of it too, whatever, but thinking about what we just talked about, metaverse, art in digital art, we are the art that we do is live events, television. The connection that we like to have is shake your hand, look you in the eye, and talk to you. These are things in what we do. What we are doing right now is having conversations, and yes, sometimes they are more shallow than others.
100%. Yes.
But we also do talk about things that are on our minds and that affect us deeply and that, you know, we're passionate about or whatever. Sure. Like we have, so it's interesting to talk about the future of these things where, gosh, I just, without sounding like, get off my lawn. I wonder in future generations what if they'll have a need for what we do, you know? And I'm not talking about our job prospects. It's not that. It's like podcasts are big now. People like long form conversations.
Kids
listen to podcasts? I don't think they do. I think it's 30 somethings and up.
One minute and 30 seconds is the attention span for our kids on a video. Like literally, they don't listen to a full song. If songs became 30 seconds, they'd still make the same amount of money.
Verse and a chorus. Let's go.
Right. That's it.
Easier to write.
I was talking to somebody, and I love having these deep conversations because, you know, with working on mindset, I love hearing other people's point of views.
Yeah.
Like I want to understand people. I want to understand, you know, why someone is the way they are or how can we overcome that. But I was talking to a friend's dad, and he was telling me about this study because he helps people in recovery and stuff. And he told me about this study because we were talking about how it's so important to work on the internal things, right? As hard as it can be to look within, we all have the same, we all have stuff. We all have stuff, right? And to go in and really shine the light on those things is a painful situation, right? And that's where we get stuck in the trap of looking for things externally to band-aid the internal, you know, whether it's buying things, whether it's drugs, alcohol, whether it's Netflix, whether it's food, whether it's whatever it is. So we're always trying to avoid the pain inside. So, but with through pain and through suffering, there's growth. Through reflection, there's growth. And we were talking about this for like an hour, me and this guy, and I had just met him. And he said, you know what, the most interesting, he goes, there was a study, and I'm going to find the study. It was a Harvard study that they followed two groups, one group of kids from a wealthy privileged background and sure. some that wasn't privileged, right? And they were talking about happiness and contentment.
Yeah.
And they found out, because they followed these kids for 10 to 15 years or whatever it was.
Sure.
And they found out the happiest people, the most content people, had the deepest relationships.
Yeah.
So that's what, going back, that's why I brought this up.
Yeah.
You know, because we think, oh, money's going to buy happiness. It does. It's all these things. Obviously working on yourself, figuring yourself out, but having those deep relationships, like having, being able to have these conversations, open conversations and go, you know, or with somebody, hey, why am I feeling this way? Or what you were talking about in your the study you were talking about, where they're asking these people deep questions and then they have to have deep conversations.
Right.
Right. That's the connection that's lacking today because of these devices.
Yes.
You know, and I don't know, back to your question on looking 15 years down the road,
right?
There might just have to be events for this type of thing.
For human interaction.
No, for human, for deeper connections.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. And like having meaningful conversations, it like has to be scheduled.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting. I,
you know,
without.
And I love podcasting, by the way, because this stuff is so fun to talk about, dude.
Right.
And I know people probably have turned it off already and they don't give a shizzle.
Well,
but I love talking to you. And this is what it is, man. Like,
yeah, it just got me thinking about like how in school, at my kid's school, you know, when we drop them off, they're walking in a circle around the thing and all, you know, they're not allowed to have devices. So they're all just talking.
Great.
And then at recess, there's no devices.
Great.
I've seen it pick up when some kids come out, some of the older kids come out of the school, they go right to their devices.
Right on the phone. Okay. Yeah.
But my kids have never really complained about not having a phone until they were doing this children's theater production.
I remember this, yeah.
And all the kids had phones. And so when they would have a break, you know, you'd have a break, you know, every so often when you're rehearsing your break. The kids that had phones would go on their phones. And boy, did that hit me hard, because the best part of doing a show, the best part of being on a team, the best part of is when you have those breaks, it's talking to each other and like, you know, developing like new friends or developing a new crush or developing and flexing and experimenting and putting yourself out there and getting nervous to talk to somebody or like all that stuff. That's the excitement. Yeah. The excitement about coming to rehearsal is to see those people and to have the conversation. Like, and my kids thought they were missing out because, well,
isn't that interesting?
Well, but the thing is they rationalize it, or they didn't rationalize it. They understood it. They're like, we're missing out because they're not talking to us. So I guess I need a phone.
Right.
It wasn't ooh, I want to do what they're doing. It's I feel left out. They're not talking to me.
Let's flip it. Really, the other people are missing out.
Absolutely.
Right. So your kids aren't missing out. They are to some degree, but they recognize that. And the other kids aren't even recognizing that they are missing out.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the crazy part.
So, and you know, talking about getting kids phones, my wife asked her students in her high school class, she's like, when should I let my kids have a phone? And everyone 100% said, I wish I had got mine later.
No one has ever said it or got it earlier.
Right. But high school kids that are still addicted to it. And
yeah, I like it.
Might not be as self-aware yet as you might, you know, and even still, they were like, I wish nothing about this device makes me feel better about myself.
Zero.
Right. So like, that was interesting that they could be that honest with her and yet then go back to,
because it's ingrained in them and it's addiction. It's dopamine.
Well,
yeah.
Well, but that's where their social life does exist. And but they're aware that it's not ideal,
right?
But they don't have the mechanism to alter
to
it.
Get rid of it. Yeah.
It's there. Totally. If they want to participate, they got to be there. So
they have to be anyway. With other kids. Yeah. Yeah. It's just crazy. So, but anyway.
So that's the thing. It's like, when, you know, we've talked about having a phone as a simply a practical thing. Like, hey, we know where you are. We know when to pick you up. Your schedule is set. We drop you off. We pick you up. Yeah. You don't need a phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Dude,
and if there's an emergency, your teacher's there or your, you know, the instructor's there, they'll let us know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So until they get a car, until they are going from an activity to another activity without us bringing them there.
Right.
That's when I was like, that's when you probably, it would make sense for you to have one in case something changes or.
Absolutely.
But then are you making them a pariah of sorts because they don't have, they can't participate in the way that all the other kids do. And I'm sure.
Right.
Anyway, this is so anyway, yeah. We steered into this.
I know we steered into this.
And as our podcast continues for however long it's going to, I'm sure this is not the first time we'll talk about our kids getting devices.
Yeah, for sure.
So this is, and I think we've probably talked about it before.
We've talked about a lot today.
Yeah.
But speaking of devices.
Yeah.
So it's funny because before at the show, I would never bring my phone on set.
Right.
Right. Like lots of people bring their phones on set now.
Right.
You know, they check whatever in between, whatever, or they want to take a picture or whatever it was. And that's kind of what sparked this whole thing was on my last day, people were taking pictures.
Right.
Right. And then supposedly, my last day. But then they started, like, I didn't know my last air date, dude.
Right.
Only me would not know my last air date.
Right. Yes.
Right. And I just found out by people were posting pictures.
Right.
I saw a few people like Kelly Tebow and Cameron Mathis, and they posted pictures of me. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Was it my last day?
Did that air today? Because that was my last day. Right.
Because then I put my video out because of that. Because I was like, oh, it's air. I was not even paying attention. Like zero. Like right. Of one. You know, because in the show, sometimes you'll do three or four different shows and then only has one air date listed on the script.
Right. So in the old days, you don't really like, know. Yeah, you'd be like, all right, cool.
So you don't know.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah. You could keep track of it. So, you know, and it was, you know, because we didn't really talk about it. My last day was interesting because, you know, I got collapsed. A cave collapsed on me.
You were in the tunnels or something?
Tunnels. Yeah. The tunnels trying to get off the freaking, Crete,
was it an escape tunnel? Crete, but, like,
no, it was a tunnel. They were like cavernous tunnels underneath
Casadine Island or whatever.
Yeah, the Casadine Island. Yeah, so we're running through there, and you know, me and Drew Cameron are you know trying to save everybody, and the unfortunate accident of a lot of gunfire. Kathleen Obrecht,
yes,
said, you know, because. She's whatever she is. It's scientist, doctor. I don't know. What is she?
Yeah. No super idea. Doctor villain. Okay. Lady.
Yeah. Yeah. So she said something to the effect of like, hey, if there's a lot of gunshots. It could be make things unstable. Of course, there were a lot of gunshots, you know? So, anyway, that's what happened. I was chasing Peter and trying to shoot Peter. And, then, you know, the cave collapsed on me.
So, in theory, maybe like old wooden posts that were holding up like makeshift tunnels.
Yeah, it was a door. It was like a makeshift doorway with a beam and, you know, just kind of, you know,
right.
decrepit opening basically. Right. So, and I kind of was in the opening shooting at Peter around a rock and then, you know, then the lights went out on me.
Right.
Good night.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so that was it. That was
had you been a better aimer if you hadn't hit the wooden posts?
Well, I didn't hit the wooden posts. Somebody else did.
Oh,
or the sound did. Right.
Oh, I see. Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, but you know, the last day was kind of uneventful because I didn't even know if it was going to be really my last day.
Right.
So right. I just kind of let, you know, sort of left and
yeah that no was that's it, a, you know? That was an interesting thing because yeah no I know you I know the end the head it was to be determined at that point so like
yeah it was to yeah. be determined yeah so
yeah
but anyway who knows and it's all good and you know we keep moving forward. We're doing a lot of shows coming up, you and I.
That's right.
We're doing the podcast and if I get my workspace again, we'll be doing more new segments. I know Seven Questions was a favorite. And bad jokes, you know, and I love to start adding some of that stuff back in, but there's a lot.
I mean, certainly, for sure. Certainly our, what we put on the YouTube page got limited as our schedule got busier and busier.
I mean, we haven't even posted podcasts lately on there.
We haven't. So normally what we do is on Fridays, we put the video of our podcast up for our patrons. Mm-hmm. But then what we end up having is a kind of a collection of podcast videos that that we've posted that we haven't posted anywhere else. And so sometimes after a certain amount of time, we put them up on our YouTube page. And you're right. We haven't done that in a while. We haven't done that in a while.
So we can put some stuff up on there. And, you know, it's all good, man.
Yeah. We're, I mean, you know, obviously podcasts are an audio format.
Yes,
but we understand that sometimes people like to see our reactions or see how we say, like, it's fun to watch the video for sure. Especially, you know, sometimes, especially when we have guests, that's fun.
Awesome.
So, but what are guests?
Well, there's someone, that are not us. So we're going to try to get some more guests, but.
Well, that's the thing is like, especially, fun. You know, especially over Zoom, which, you know, I think is that's how everybody records now. No one's going back in the room yet. I mean, I know some people are, but, you know, once everybody kind of got used to doing it this way, you're like, oh, well, then it's so much easier to get anybody. And it's so
I'm in my car.
Well, but, you know, it's not like, you know, remember how hard it was to get someone to come in LA to like, either to the Podcast One studio or to your dressing room or like wherever we were.
Of course.
It was just so much. And so now that this has become normalized and it's not, you know, cause I remember we did this a couple times. I remember our first Zoom podcast was either Kristen Alderson or Rick Hurst or one of those. Remember?
Oh yeah.
And we had technical difficulties each time. And,
yes. Yeah.
You know, and we had, so like, and we did it in a pinch, or we did it with someone that was not in town, but it wasn't our go-to method. And now it is, and it's normalized for everybody. And so it just, but so all to say, we don't have conversations like this when we have guests.
Never.
It's too hard.
Yeah, no, it's too hard.
Well,
this is I don't want to say it's way more fun because we do have some great guests and we do have great laughs, but you know, this is, you know, sometimes we go down roads that are talking about things that might actually help somebody or make people think a little bit, you know, and make me think more, you know?
Sure.
So, but you know, I love this forum, you know, for us just to talk, and talk to you guys. And, you know, we've been doing it for a couple of years. Well, how many years now?
It'll be 4 in March.
Wow. 4 years. That's a lot of episodes.
Well, think about 4 years times 50 weeks is 200, and we're at almost at 200 episodes.
That's crazy, man. That's awesome. So that being said,
it is.
That's awesome. Go to StoneColdTheJackal.com because we're going to be setting January dates here for Florida. We're going to do a short Florida run. That's our goal. We always kind of keep you guys up to date. Check out our Patreon page. That's where we're living. They have this thing called Lens there that's kind of like Instagram stories. So you're always seeing behind the scenes of our lives daily. Usually there's always something going on. If we're on the road, if we're at home, if it's the holidays, whatever it is, I'm going to put my tree tonight.
Nice.
So that'll be cool. But check us out on Patreon because we're doing a lot of great stuff over there. We have a holiday Christmas. And I always have to put the menorah up for my friends because, you know, I was raised half Jewish and Catholic.
Yeah, happy Hanukkah to everybody out there. I didn't realize Hanukkah was so early this year. We were with our friends the Brokaws on the first night of Hanukkah.
Yeah,
and it was so cool. Like, because I've been to a lot of Hanukkah celebrations over the years, but not many recently. Yeah. And so it was so cool.
It's so cool. Listen, I love the tradition. I mean, all the seders and everything. Like, I grew up that way, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to have a great holiday party for sure.
Yes.
We're just doing so much on Patreon. So go to patreon.com or go to stonecoldandjackal.com and you'll see it there. So we're having a great time.
Yep. Thank you, everybody. We will be talking to you next week.
Yeah.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL. Some of you have seen me on Instagram. And some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week, I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.